It's with a bit of reverence in a 19th century temple of learning called the Providence Athenaeum. Librarians carefully wind an antique library clock near the circulation desk. This is one of the oldest libraries in the United States. A 19th century library with the soul of a 21st century rave. In fact, it's been called a national model for civic engagement. Athenaeums are social libraries. You can go in there to borrow. You can attend a party. You can bring your dog. NPR's Jackie Lydon has this story about the life and times of the Ath.
A bust of the Greek goddess Athena presides from the open mezzanine above the main floor, surveying her realm. The building opened in 1838. Shafts of light fall through the atrium. A wrought iron railing circles the upper floor, and the bookshelves are fronted by pillars topped with busts and give the impression of holding up the ceiling. Perhaps it was here, says Ted Widmer, that he honed his passion for history as a child, in a nook that became the children's library.
It was like going into a different century.
Today, Widmer directs the John Carter Brown Library, a 3-minute walk away from the Athenaeum.
I came here as a little boy often. I wonder a little bit if it was just the free babysitting that induced parents to come here with their little children, but it's downhill. It's a pretty steep hill. So it's hard to get back up once you've been dropped off. So you just end up staying in this funky old 19th century library space.
Through good times and bad, and there have been both, the Athenaeum has maintained a stately spot on Benefit Street. You could have once seen from its massive doorways the Providence port and sailors and perhaps monkeys and oranges on the ships from India. The gray granite facade is austere. James Hall, executive director of the Providence Preservation Society, is an enthusiastic supporter of the Ath.
It's set up as a Greek temple would be, on a great plinth, so that it has sort of a sense of prominence. There are no windows on the front of this building, really. Even the doors are sort of paneled and foreboding. There is nothing decorative about this. It's meant to say, this is an important building meant to house important things, and that's very much what it does.
Education and self-empowerment were the whole point of the Ath's early founders, says Director of Programs and Public Engagement, Christina Bevilacqua. But keeping a fragile 19th century library in continuous operation for nearly two centuries has been a challenge. Anyone may browse or catch a program. Members pay an annual fee. There are about 1,000 supporting members, a number that is waxing again after having waned. 150 years ago, social libraries like the Athenaeum were all the rage. Today, only a handful remain, such as in Boston and Newport. All were dedicated to the Greek goddess, of course.
Athena is the goddess of wisdom.
And on the day the library opened in 1838, the citizens of Providence stood willingly for over 2 hours to listen to an address by one of its founders, the long-winded president of Brown University.
We are speaking of my favorite character in history, Francis Wayland.
Her 19th century boyfriend.
He's my 19th century boyfriend. We won't go into my taste in men.
God has scattered the seeds of preeminent ability as profusely among the poor as among the rich.
And speaking to an actor from Trinity Repertory Company, just know this. In 1838, Francis Wayland spoke for over 2 hours. Christina Bevilacqua.
He has this kind of philosophy about the need for a library and the need to have equal access to intellectual development, because intellectual ability is spread out by God through poor and rich. It doesn't matter.
Providence, which once surpassed Boston in per capita income, invested in its cultural gems. Theater companies, museums, arts and music organizations, and far more. But keeping these all going in a city of just under 200,000 is a daunting task, and with the recession, several nonprofits have gone under. Rhode Island has gained national attention for its financial problems. On February 3rd, the same day that the city of Providence announced it was nearing bankruptcy, the Athenaeum, which receives no city funds, held its annual fundraising gala. The contrast would not have been lost on the night's honoree, the late lamented 19th century Anglo-Irish satirist and wit, Oscar Wilde. Of course, there was a Wilde impersonator.
Alas, financial problems can be solved only by finance. Genius, art, romance, passion, and the like are useless when the point at issue is one of figures.
Wilde, then just 26, made a grand tour of America in 1882 to promote the decorative arts and aestheticism, or beauty. He stopped in Providence. Wilde, of course, was known as a dapper, dashing, original dandy. Oh, here come two now. One of them is the author Tripp Evans, and the other...
Hi, my name is Ed Cabral, and I work for the Providence Journal, and tonight I am wearing Tripp's great-grandfather's top hat that was manufactured in Taunton, Massachusetts.
I have a swagger stick that belonged to my grandfather, and the college ring of my grandmother's fiancé, who died before... they could be married. I'm the second person to wear this since the 20s.
Tripp Evans gave a talk about his biography of the artist Grant Wood at the Ath last year. These talks, called salons, occur weekly on Fridays. They're free. Begun just 6 years ago, they've brought in over 80 organizations as speakers, serving as a bridge between the Ath and Providence's other cultural institutions and building audience for all of them. Last year, the Chilean artist Magali Ponce gave a salon for the Hark the White Whale series devoted to Melville. Ponce had made a whale skeleton from chemistry bottles and jugs.
So it's all like translucent and very illuminated. But then the Athenaeum's very supportive group of people. They met the people that were involved in the project. We shared the details of that project and how it came about, and I think it opened up people's imagination to places they hadn't been before.
Travel and exploration are a major part of the Providence Athenaeum's collection. Early on, the founder scraped up $500 for the Description of Egypt, 23 volumes Napoleon commissioned after his 1798 expedition. Draftsmen, printers, architects spent two decades collaborating on these volumes. Special Collections curator Kate Woodhouse describes their beautiful engravings. Taking one down, did you know gloves are no longer used for this sort of work? She lays the book on a foam cradle.
See?
Wow.
Isn't that incredible?
Oh, my goodness.
I need another person just to get it out off the shelf.
Wow.
Why this is so important is because the Western world had not really seen Egypt up to this point. So this monumental work was the first glimpse that the rest of the world was really getting of Egypt. And it started a craze not only to travel to Egypt, to go there and to see it for themselves, but it also started a craze in terms of the decorative arts with Egypt mania.
Antiquities of the Athenaeum once included an original folio of John James Audubon's Birds of America, and the Audubons were at the heart of the Ath's worst financial crisis a decade ago. The board made the painful decision to sell the Audubons at Christie's for $5 million in 2005 to stabilize the Athenaeum's endowment. A small contingent sued, trying to block the sale of the folio. Membership declined in the years of turbulence. Kate Woodhouse.
So it was a dark period, and I've had people tell me they could feel the heaviness in the air, that it was definitely sort of depressed environment.
But after seesawing through the recession, membership has rebounded. So the Ath keeps on educating the generations. An octogenarian scholar on the history of book printing reads the newspaper in a worn leather chair down in the basement. Devotees of Edgar Allan Poe love the story of his ill-fated romance with the local female poet and all the Poe memorabilia there. Children can use their own library or the 19th century children's books known as the Old Juveniles. And the Athenaeum tries new ideas, new people, new faces.
There are people like me who are not that old guard, cultural elite of Providence.
Kip Bradford is a lecturer and design engineer at Brown who's curating three salons this spring.
Fundamentally, the Athenaeum is about community and creating this discussion and this interaction that you can't have listening to a podcast, and you can't have blogging and Twittering and Facebooking online.
On a quiet Saturday afternoon, the Providence Athenaeum was filling up. College students from nearby Brown and Rhode Island School of Design used the free Wi-Fi in the mezzanine's alcoves. Melissa Babotis, a student at Boston University, was showing the library to her friend, Matthew Parker. He's a student at the Coast Guard Academy.
My mom used to come here and let me wander around the bookcases. I love seeing this classic literature that I'm studying now in school versus just looking at when I was younger, didn't understand.
Yeah, we hiked a little bit down the road to get here, so we didn't originally set out to come, but then she asked me, hey, are you up for an adventure? And I said, always. And beautiful adventure it's turned out to be.
A beautiful adventure it has indeed been. The Providence Athenaeum at the corner of Benefit and College Streets is open 7 days a week to the public. Athena is still there, and she welcomes all. Don't let those imposing doors fool you. Jackie Leiden, NPR News.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.